right? Hallelujah. Did you bring a Bible with you tonight? If you did, I'll invite you to turn in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can look on with someone or listen real good. Praise the Lord. Amen. But the reason we put so much emphasis on the Bible, because Jesus said this in John's Gospel, the 17th chapter. He said, "Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. Amen. And Jesus is the living word, isn't he? And so everything God said, he means, and he intends for it to come to pass. Hallelujah. Like Pastor Gregory was telling us, you know, and Jesus said, it shall come. Amen. It shall be done. God's emphasizing. He wants us to understand that he has some absolutes in his word. In this day and age that we live in, so many things are uncertain and they're not absolute and they can change. I mean, we're changing laws, we're changing the Constitution, we're changing all kinds of things, aren't we? We're amending to go with culture. But this Bible is not amendable. It's already true. Amen. I said it's already true. So if we can see it in the Word, we can have it. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise the Lord. So before we get into the Word this evening, let me just ask you a couple of questions. Can I do that? Praise God. Why are you here tonight? Why have you come tonight? Have you come? Are you familiar with Redeeming Love Christian Center here in the Poconos area? Or have you come from over in the Nanuet area where the other church is? Or did you hear about us? Or did you see a banner? Did someone call you and tell you to come? Let me find out how many of you are here because you're already familiar with and you've attended meetings here before, right here in this place. Praise the Lord. Welcome back. Welcome back. How many of you have come because you saw the banner maybe on the fence? Good. Welcome. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Praise the Lord. How many of you came maybe because someone just invited you to come? Good. Welcome. We're glad you're here. Praise the Lord. And so we've come from different places, but God knows how to gather all of us, amen, and get us all on the same page. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to invite you this evening to turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, the 13th chapter. Luke chapter 13. And I'm going to just go ahead and announce it tonight. You are going to leave here differently than you came in. Amen? You're going to leave differently than you came in. If you came in with pain, you can expect it to leave before you leave tonight. Amen? Pain cannot stand in this house tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. It has no place. The Bible tells us that Jesus himself took our pain. Amen. Took our sickness and took our pain. Praise the Lord. So we're going to find out how to connect with him. Praise God. Because if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, we're still going to connect with him. Now, my picture may be on the banner, but I'm not the healer. Amen. I'm just the delivery method in this scenario, all right? We're just here to cooperate with God. God is the healer. Jesus has always been the healer, always will be the healer, amen? And so we're just going to point ourselves in his direction this evening, glory to God, so that he can do what he loves to do. Praise God, amen? Look here in Luke's Gospel, the 13th chapter, and I'm going to begin reading here in verse 10. It says, "And now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years." Wow. 18 years, "and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up." So here's a person who's been in a condition for 18 years, not 18 months, not 18 days, but 18 years, and you know, whenever you've gone on with anything, even for over a few months, you know, sometimes it's hard to see another way. If you've gone and you've had symptoms or a certain issue or a certain disease or a pain or immobility, whatever it might be, if it's gone on for more than a few months, sometimes you resign yourself to thinking this is the way it is and this is the way it's going to be. Isn't that right? Says she could in no way raise up herself. She did not have the strength to raise herself up, or maybe there was an immobility issue that she just couldn't even possibly raise up herself, but the Bible says she was bent over. And so she has now modified her home, her surroundings, right, to accommodate her disability. And she has lived her life this way for 18 years. So many times when we see things that have happened for a long period of time, it's very easy for us to just think it's so complicated that I can't possibly get out of this. Maybe I'm way past now. Maybe I'm past the point of no return. Maybe I have done too much in my life where God can't really make it up to me now. Maybe I have done something to hinder God's work in my life. Maybe it's all my fault. And we start looking at all the whys, how we got in this condition, why we're still here. Come on. Am I right? We've got lots of questions when things have gone on for time. We have lots of extra questions. If something hasn't happened immediately or if we haven't seen an answer right away, we begin to have more and more questions about why it's still hanging around. And if we get caught up in those kinds of questions, we will think so much about a thing, and we'll get in this realm that we call sometimes the realm of reason. And we sometimes, it's amazing how human nature is. Human nature thinks, if I think it, it must be right. Right? I thought it, so I'm right. Right? We do that when it comes to relationships with other people. Did you see the way that lady looked at me? I don't think she likes me, and I know I'm right. And so we automatically put an attitude on that other person, right? Maybe they didn't even see you, and you just thought they looked at you funny. And now you've had a whole opinion, and you think, because I thought it, I must be right. Or, I just believe that God, sometimes people say things like, I just believe that in God's own good timing, God's going to take this off of me when he's ready. And we think because we thought that, we're right. When in reality, there is no scripture to substantiate that thought. No scripture to substantiate that thought. And so if there's no scripture to substantiate that thought, just because you think it doesn't make it right. All right. Amen? So if we're going to receive from God in these meetings, we've got to think like he thinks. Amen? So here's this woman, 18 years she's been in this case. So you can imagine all kinds of complicated thoughts have come and gone. And all kinds of things. And sometimes laying awake at night wondering about it, or sometimes just don't even think about it at all. This is just the way it is. So when Jesus saw her, let's find out what Jesus' attitude was towards this woman now. Are you ready? When Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Praise God. He didn't look at her and go, well, that's disgusting. I'm going to keep my distance from that person. They must have done something horrible to be in that position. No, he didn't do that, did he? He called her to him. When Jesus sees you in a condition that is less than his best, he wants you as close to him as he can get you. Why? He has your answer. Amen? He has your answer. Too many times, we even ourselves sometimes keep God at a distance. We think sometimes, maybe he doesn't want to do something, and so we kind of, keep him at a distance, and we don't just even open our heart to him. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Praise God. And said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Well, isn't that an interesting thing to say to someone who's been bowed over for 18 years? You are loosed. You are loosed. You are loosed. He said, you are loosed. Well, if you are loosed, why am I like this? Right? If I'm loosed, then how come I feel like this? If I'm loosed, how come? Right? Sometimes it just, it bypasses our own understanding, and we think, how can it be possible? But Jesus said this in Luke's Gospel, the 4th chapter. You don't need to turn there, but he said this when he got up into the synagogue. He found the place in the book of Isaiah where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." Amen. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised and those that are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, it is my purpose. And he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. So he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to set people free. Praise God. The Spirit of God is on me to set people free, he said. So he said to this woman, you are loosed. You are loosed. Praise the Lord. And he laid his hands on her. Look at this. And look at what that next word is. Anybody can tell me what that next word is? Immediately. Immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, if you'll notice at the very, at the 10th verse where we began reading here, this woman is in the synagogue, isn't she? Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. So you could say she's already in church, right? She's not out on the road somewhere. She's not in her home somewhere. She's in church. And she's still been this way for 18 years, though she's in church. Jesus is in church. And he says, wait a second, you're loosed. So he laid his hands on her. Immediately she was made straight, glorified God, and you would think everybody would be so happy about this awesome miracle that just happened. But look what happened. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. So, you know, in their law, it's not proper. It's not right on the Sabbath day to do any servant, you know, any kind of hard labor, any work, right? Not supposed to do any kind of work on the Sabbath. And so the ruler of the synagogue said, wait a second, don't make Jesus work today. Don't make Jesus work today. Any other day, come and be healed any other day, but not today. Well, isn't that compassionate? Any other day but today. But how many of you know religion as we know it, still says the very thing, any day but today. Maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day, maybe next week. But today, you can't expect to be healed today. Could you come to a service on a Wednesday night and be healed the same day? Well, religion will say, well, you never know. Go and see. Maybe something will happen. Maybe somebody will get healed. You never know. But Jesus said this. I like his answer to this man. Hypocrite! Is that okay to say in church? Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, a daughter of Abraham whom Satan has bound. Boy, do we see a lot in this event in the life of Jesus. Whom Satan is bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. So he said this, this woman is a daughter of Abraham. Say daughter of Abraham. Right. Well, what would that mean, daughter of Abraham? It's an interesting concept. What does it mean? It means that she has a covenant. She has a covenant. What's a covenant? A covenant is a binding agreement. It's a contract in one sense, but not just like a written contract, but God himself said, if you would serve me, I would keep sickness and disease away from you. right? So she has, because she's a daughter of Abraham, she has a covenant with God. And so Jesus said this, if this woman has a covenant, she ought to be loose today. Right? Why is she bound if she already has a covenant of healing? But there are so many things that even though the Bible tells us what belongs to us, we very often do not take possession of it. Even though something belongs to us, we don't necessarily take possession of it. Interesting concept. You can own something and not possess it. Isn't that right? You can loan someone your car. Doesn't mean that you don't own it right now, but you're not in possession of it. Is that right? But if you own it, how many of you know you can take possession of it? Isn't that right? What if someone were to steal your car? That doesn't change the fact that you own it. Right? But you're not in possession of it. So what does that mean? You have every right to get law enforcement on your side. You have every right to get everything on your side to claim your property because it belongs to you. Just because it was stolen does not mean it doesn't belong to you. And so there are many things in the Word of God that belong to us, especially if you're already a child of God, if you're already a Christian, the things that already belong to you because of what Jesus paid for already. Are you with me? So we've got to then take possession of the thing that belongs to us. And so people sometimes get a little nervous about those kind of thoughts because they think, are we trying to take something from God? No, we're not trying to take something from God. We're just possessing what He's already paid for. What He's already offered, what He's already given, it already belongs to us, so we're receiving it. Receiving it. Everybody say receiving. We're not taking something from God. We're receiving what He's already provided for us, and in some cases, taking back what the enemy stole. Praise the Lord. So this woman is a daughter of Abraham, so she has a right to what belongs to her. Can you see it? She's a daughter of Abraham. She has a right to what belongs to her. So Jesus laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. The ruler of the synagogue got upset. Not today. But Jesus answered that question of when. He said, today. It's not work to heal people, he said. It's just like letting your animal go get water. It's just that easy. What is that? That's compassion. That's not work. That's not trying to make God do something. That's just simply God answering with compassion for his people. And say, I am willing to do it today. I don't want you like this one more day. Not one more day. Jesus said, that's hypocritical thinking to think, you know, I'll wait till tomorrow, I'll wait till the next day. No, today is the day. Everybody say, today is the day. Today is the day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look with me, if you would, to Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 7. Inspire your faith this evening. Is that all right? Mark chapter 7, we'll begin in verse 24. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and wanted no one to know it, but he could not be hidden. Boy, that would be interesting to be Jesus, wouldn't it? He didn't want anybody to know he was there, but you just can't help it. People are following him around. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, and she came and fell at his feet. Notice she heard about him. Can anybody tell me what comes by hearing the word? Faith comes by hearing the word. So here's a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Now, the first woman we looked at, the Bible says, Jesus said she was a daughter of Abraham. She was part of the family, right? She had a covenant. Now, this woman, she's not a daughter of Abraham. She's a Greek. She's on the outside. She's on the outside looking in. She doesn't have that covenant that that first lady had. She's on the outside looking in, but the Bible says she heard of Jesus. So if she heard of Jesus, something got on the inside of her that said, he's got my answer. So she came, the Bible says, and fell at his feet. So she was reverent. She worshiped him. She came and she said, you've got what I need. And so Jesus, praise the Lord, let's see what he says to her. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Well, that's encouraging. He said, let the children be filled first, for it's not right to take the children's bread and give it to the little dogs. Well, people think, well, that's the meanest thing I've ever heard. But now, he's got to do something to position this woman to receive. She doesn't have a covenant, so she doesn't have what we would call a legal right. He said, let the children first be filled. They have the legal right to this. All right? Follow me. Let the children be filled first. And so she's following his train of thought here. And she's thinking, wait a second. Now, you know, in their culture, you know, the way they talk, you know, talk to the Jews and the Greeks, to the Jews, all the Greeks were dogs. And so, you know, he's at least using the terminology she's familiar with. It's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. And so she says, you're right, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have come. Is that what she said? No. She answered and said to him, yes, Lord, I see where you're going with this. Anybody in here have a dog? Do you have a dog? Anybody have a dog? How many of you know dogs have it pretty good? If they live in the house, right? So she's going, wait a second. If he said, it's not right don't let the dogs get what the children are supposed to have first. But look what he said. He said, let the children be filled first. Everybody say first. If there's a first, what else is there? There's at least a second, right? He didn't say only the children get it, but they get it first. So if she's smart, she's following this train of thought. She said, well, they get it first, but if I'm a dog, I know what dogs get. They get the crumbs. So I've got no problem being the dog in this situation. The dog's going to have it pretty good, especially if there are children at the table. There's going to be lots of crumbs on the floor. Right? Right? So she's thinking, this is not a problem for me. Right? She's not upset. She's not angry. She knows Jesus has her answer, and he's positioning her to receive something because she can't get it as a covenant. She's going to have to get it another way, and that other way is called faith. You believe and you receive by faith. So you might think to yourself, you might think, well, I'm not familiar with some of these faith terms. I'm not familiar with some of the ways, you know, you're talking. I feel kind of maybe on the outside. Fine. That's fine. Because he's got something for everybody, inside, outside, all the way around. Amen. You don't have to have inside information to receive from God. Amen. He's reaching out to all of us. Praise God. He wants so much for us to receive from him that he will do anything he can to get us in position to just say yes. To just say yes. So here she is. She's a Greek. She doesn't have anything that really belongs to her because of a covenant. So, but she heard of Jesus. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. She heard something about that he was going about and doing good and healing people. So she thought, this is the answer for my daughter. So he said, let the children first be filled. It's not right to give the children's bread to the little dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. Yet even the little dogs under the table eat from the children's crumbs. Then he said to her, for this saying. Notice he said, for this saying. For this saying. The Bible tells us this in Romans. It says, the righteousness which is of faith speaks this way. I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved. How did you get saved if you're already saved? You believed that God sent Jesus and you confessed him as Lord. And so he's looking for a way for this lady to say something that agrees with him. And so he said, for this saying, go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. Now she's got something else to believe, doesn't she? Go your way. The demon has gone out of your daughter. She didn't go, come with me and make sure it happened. She believed what he said, didn't she? He said, go ahead and go. The demon's already gone. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. Praise God. Simply because Jesus spoke it. He said, because you believe, for this saying, the devil's gone out of your daughter, you got what you came for. You got what you came for. Praise the Lord. So we've got a daughter of Abraham, and we've got a dog. We've got a daughter, and we've got a dog. Both received. Both received. God shows no favorites. All he's looking for is someone who will believe him. Belief, or what we call faith, is the great equalizer. Faith is the great equalizer. It makes us all available to receive from him. Because what he's looking for is faith. He's not looking for how much you know. He's not looking for how long you've been in church. He's not looking for how much money you gave. He's not looking at any of that criteria. All he's looking for is someone who will look to him in faith, believing that he is able and willing to do what he said. It puts us all on the same playing field. Praise the Lord. Anyone can receive from God. Hallelujah. That's good news, isn't it? Let's look at one more person in Mark's Gospel, the 5th chapter, Mark chapter 5. Are you getting something this evening? Praise God. Mark chapter 5. Here's another woman, verse 25. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Here's another person who's been in a situation for quite some time. Quite some time. We were ministering not long ago. A man who had come, and we were about to lay our hands on him for healing. That's one of the ways that God heals, is through the laying on of hands. And so he came, and we asked him what he came for, and he said, I have an issue with my lungs. So I said, can I just put my hand right there on your chest? He said, sure. So I put my hand on his chest. I could hear it and feel it. It just rattled. Just rattled. And so I said, take it. You know, we laid our hands on him in the name of Jesus. And I said, now take a deep breath. He took a deep breath and then just coughed, cough, 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 cough. And you would think, well, nothing happened. And I said, take another breath. He took another breath. You could hear it rattle, feel it rattle. Cough, cough, cough. I said, take another breath. He's healed you. Praise God. He has healed you. Like Jesus said, you are loosed. Take another breath because you are healed. He took a deep breath. There was no rattle, no looseness, no congestion. He breathed freely, no cough. He took another deep breath, no rattling, no nothing. Tears came down his eyes. He said, "This is amazing." I said, "How long have you had that?" He said, 10 years. 10 years he's been battling with this lung disease. 10 years. And in a day, in a moment, praise the Lord. So that first woman, 18 years. The next woman, the dog, didn't rightfully have anything, but she came and received just as easily, believed what Jesus said without seeing anything, went home, and it was exactly the way he said. Praise the Lord. And then this woman, 12 years she's been in this condition. 12 years. And had suffered, verse 26, many things from many physicians. If you've been to even one physician, you can testify sometimes that you've suffered many things. Isn't that right? It amazes me, even the tests sometimes, the tests are worse than the treatment. And the treatment sometimes seems worse than the disease. Right? And so there's, you can imagine then this woman suffered many things of many physicians in that day and age. Oh my goodness. Suffered many things. I understand. One time I was having some tests done, went to a doctor's office and was there at the hospital and doing some tests for, you know, outpatient stuff. And I'm sitting there in one of those hospital gowns in a room all by myself. And I'm thinking, this is a lonely place. Right? How many of you know sitting on that butcher paper at the doctor is a lonely place? Might as well call it butcher paper, right? Sitting there on the butcher paper. Lonely, lonely place. And, you know, and I'm just sitting there going, you know, just getting some tests done. And so I said to the Lord, I said, because I might as well talk to him, right? So I said to the Lord, "I'm here doing miracle research." I'm here doing miracle research. And what I meant by that was, while I'm here, I'm just going to see what people go through. They get handled. How many of you have been handled, right? Been handled at the doctor's office. Sometimes with very little compassion. Sometimes with a great amount of compassion, right? My mom was in the hospital one time, and she had just the best staff around her, just the most wonderful people, just the most wonderful people. And so I was just thanking God for those sweet, sweet people. Amen. But then there's sometimes you just feel handled. So she suffered many things of many physicians and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, when she heard about Jesus, you heard about these meetings. You heard something. When she heard about Jesus, she did something about it, and so did you. You came. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Wonder why she did that. Because she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. I will be whole if I can just touch his clothes." Remember, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me." Praise God. So she said, "If I just touch his clothes, I'm going to get what's on him. If I can just touch his clothes, I'm going to get something. I'm going to get that, what we call that anointing." Praise God. Amen. If I can just touch his clothes. "For," she said, "if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." And verse 29 says, "Immediately." There's that word again. "Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction." And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, she felt something go into her, he felt something go out of him. Isn't that right? I said, she felt something go into her, he felt something go out of him. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes?" So he didn't know who touched him, right? Matter of fact, his disciples said, "Lord, everybody's touching you. What do you mean, who touched me? Everybody's touching you." No, he said, "Something's different. Power went out of me. I don't know who the power went into." Interesting. I don't know who the power went into. Who just got the power? Who just got healed? So we know the first lady we looked at was in the synagogue. She's a daughter of Abraham. The second lady we looked at is a Greek. She's a dog. Jesus had to maneuver her, position her in one sense, to receive by faith. This woman, the Bible doesn't tell us who she, where she came from. We don't know if she's a daughter or she's a dog. Right? I mean, I've heard it taught that she's a Jew, and because of this issue of blood and the laws of that time, that she wasn't supposed to be in public. That very well may be true. But the fact that Jesus didn't know who got healed tells us something. If he didn't know who got healed, then it wasn't his decision who to heal that day. Isn't that true? If he didn't know who got healed, it wasn't his decision. He didn't get up that day and go, "Okay, Father, who are we going to heal today? Who's been good enough? Who's been reading their Bible enough? Who's been praying enough? Who's been giving offerings?" All the things we think make us ready to receive. "Well, Lord, I've been reading my Bible every day. I'm a good candidate to be healed. Lord, I pray. I love Jesus. I'm a good candidate to be healed." So Jesus wasn't going down the criteria going, "Well, who deserves to be healed today?" He was on his way to another place, and the woman came and got healing. Right? So if he didn't know who got healed, and it wasn't his decision who got healed, whose decision was it? Good answer. It was her decision. Think about that. She decided to be healed. She didn't just go to a meeting and say, I hope it's me. She heard of Jesus, came on purpose, and said, "If I can touch his clothes, I'll be whole," and had the audacity to get in there and actually touch his clothes. Had the guts to get in there and do whatever it took to get in there and touch his clothes, because she knew she'd get something if she did it. Do you know that God is not offended by that kind of action? God is not intimidated by that kind of boldness. Matter of fact, he loves it. Loves it. When Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" I am confident that he didn't say, "Who touched my clothes?" "Who took healing? Who do you think you are? Come here and decide to be healed. What do you think you're doing? Give it back. You got it illegally. You just grabbed it. You just took it. Who gave you the idea you could just take it?" She heard of Jesus. And she came and said, "I can be healed if I just touch his clothes. I'm going to touch his clothes, and that power is going to go out of his clothes, and it's going to go into me." And all of a sudden, he felt power go out of him, and he thought, "Somebody just got healed. Who is it? Who just got healed?" And I can imagine when he said, "Who touched my clothes?" Think about this. Those words meant something to one person. Those words meant something to one person. See, the disciples said, "Lord, everybody's touching you." They thought it meant everybody. Everybody's touching his clothes. But that phrase meant something to one person because she said, if I can touch his clothes, I'll be whole. If I can touch his clothes, I'll be whole. So Jesus said, who touched my clothes? She felt that she was healed, and she said, oh, that's me. That's me. I received. I got it. I received. And so the Bible says she came and she told him all the truth. How many of you know women can tell all the truth? Right? She told him all the truth. So she probably said, well, the first doctor said this, and the second doctor said this, and then the third doctor contradicted the first two doctors, and he said this, and they tried that, and nothing worked. But I said, if I could just touch your clothes, I'd be whole. And so let's notice what Jesus' response was to her. Let's look at what he said. Are you ready? Hallelujah. And Jesus said to her, verse 34, what did he call her? Daughter. 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 Your, what? Your faith. Now we know power went out of him, but what she did to receive the power was believe it. So he said, your faith has made you whole. Praise God. Your faith has made you whole. And because of your faith, I'm calling you daughter. The Bible tells us in Romans that they are which are of faith, those are the sons, those are the children of Abraham. Praise God. You don't have to be born into that family to have faith. First lady had, she was a covenant, right? Covenant daughter, daughter of Abraham. Second lady, she got what she needed by faith. This lady just came and took what she believed. Can you see it? She decided. If she decided, guess what you can do? You can decide to receive. You can decide to receive. We were ministering to a group of people, a church in California, Sacramento, California. And a woman came, and we just were having just a general time just to lay hands on anyone who wanted hands to be laid on them for healing. And she came that day, and she came, and she had one of those long white canes. She was legally blind. Came to the service. She came up. I asked her before I laid hands on her, I said, what did you come for? She said, I came for my miracle. I thought, well, okay. What did she decided? She decided. She didn't come going, well, you know, I came to see if God would do anything for me. She said, I came for my miracle. That's what I came for. I said, well, praise the Lord. Amen. So I laid my hands on her, went my way. I didn't ask her how she was feeling, how she was doing. I just went my way. Well, we found out later, the pastor told us later, she went after that service was over and was dismissed. She normally would ride a bus to church. The church would provide buses for people who couldn't drive and, you know, get themselves to church. And so some people picked her up on the bus. And she went to go get back on the bus, and the person who always helped her said, I'm right over here. Here, you can just follow me. She goes, I don't need your help. She had folded her cane up already. She said, I don't need your help. She walked on the bus. Praise God. They got to her home, and the person was there, said, now I'll help you, miss, I don't remember her name, but he said, I'll help you get over to your house. She goes, can't you see I don't need your help? She got off the bus, walked back to her house unassisted, unaided, praise the Lord, sent us a letter. She went back to her doctor and sent us a letter. The doctor sent us a letter and said, we have no reason, we have no explanation why all of a sudden her vision is 20/20 when it was 20/1400. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. She said, I came for my healing. I came for my miracle. Praise the Lord. Amen. We were ministering in another place, and a young woman came. She had had over 20 surgeries already. She'd suffered many things of many physicians. 20 surgeries already. And like I said, she was a young woman. And the reason she had had 20 surgeries was because she kept having these tumors growing inside her. And they were growing in her stomach, and they kept trying to remove the tumors, and then it would grow back, and they were benign, but they just kept growing. No explanation. They couldn't control it. So they finally said, we're just going to remove your stomach altogether because they keep growing in your stomach. Young woman. So they completely surgically removed her stomach. They also removed her ovaries at that time because there were tumors growing in that area as well. So she came to our meeting. I got ready to lay my hands on her in the name of Jesus. And I said, what did you come for? She said, I came for a new stomach. She said, I came for a new stomach. I thought, I'm so glad Jesus is our healer. I'm so glad Jesus is our healer because I don't have any stomachs lying around. I'm not the healer, but I know him and I'm confident in him. Amen. So she said, I've come for a new stomach. I said, praise the Lord. We ministered to her by the anointing. Praise God. That same power of Jesus went into her. Praise God. And so we were there several days, like we're here for several days. She came the next day and she said this, the doctor told me, the day they removed my stomach, the doctor told me, because she said, I told him, I'm so hungry. And he said, well, just remember this feeling because you'll never feel hungry again after we take your stomach. And so she hadn't been hungry all this time. So we ministered to her, laid our hands on her one evening, and the next day she came back and she said, all I can tell you so far is I woke up hungry. The doctor told me I would never feel hungry again. She said, I woke up hungry. That's all I know so far. I woke up hungry. And I'm telling you, we rejoiced because she was hungry. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Good to be hungry. Yeah. Right? Good to be hungry. Without a stomach, she wasn't hungry. But she says, I'm hungry. Praise God. We rejoiced. I don't have an x-ray machine right there. I can't see what happened. But I know God. I said, I know God. Amen. Well, I said, please let us know what happens. We want to hear the rest of your testimony. So I saw her at another meeting not long ago. About a year ago, I saw her. And I said, tell me the rest of the story. I want to hear the story. And she said, well, I had to go back. I have to go back periodically for all, you know, the tests because they want to keep monitoring things. And so I went back for an endoscopy. That's where they take the camera, you know, down. And they came back out of anesthesia, and the doctor said this, well, this time, because they've been doing it so many times, this time, he said, it was really strange. He said, first of all, we couldn't find any of your scars. 20 surgeries. We couldn't find any of your scars. Praise the Lord. He said, and secondly, he said, that little bitty pouch we left at the end of your esophagus is bigger. He said, we don't know what that means. And she says, I have a stomach. God put in a stomach. Yes, glory to God. This wasn't in Africa. This wasn't in, you know, Australia. This wasn't in Europe. This wasn't in South America. This was right here in the United States. Glory to God. And not 50 years ago. Amen. This is our recent time. This is Jesus doing the healing. Amen. Well, she also said, well, then she said, I had this other pain that was kind of strange. And I asked my husband to take me to the emergency room. She said, I'm so used to having gone to doctors so much. She said, I asked my husband to take me to the emergency room. So he did. They did all kind of tests. They finally came back. And the doctor said this, well, we found out what's wrong with your wife. He said she had a cyst on her ovary and it burst, but she's doing all right. And the husband said, glory to God. And the doctor said, what do you mean? You don't understand. She had a cyst on her ovary. He said, no, doctor, you don't understand. There weren't any ovaries in there. Praise the Lord. That's our God. Amen. I said, that's our God. Hallelujah. Put something back in there. It's never too late with God. Amen? It's never too late with God. He can regenerate nerves. He can put back tissue that's been removed. He can put organs back in. Amen. Glory to God. All he asks is that we believe him. Hallelujah. Amen. All he asks is that we believe him. Praise the Lord. We got any believers in here tonight? I think we got some believers in this house tonight. Amen. We know he's here. All he needs is to connect with someone who believes him. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Can we just give him glory even right now? Hallelujah. Say this with me. Jesus is the healer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you believe that tonight? Jesus is the healer. Those people that came to him came reverently. Even though that woman with the issue of blood came and she received, she says, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be whole. She came boldly, but she came because she believed he had her answer. Jesus has your answer tonight. Amen. No matter what the question is, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've gone through, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Whether you're in pain tonight, or disease, cancer, arthritis, diabetes, nothing is too hard for our God. Nothing is beyond his reach. Nothing is beyond his scope. Things that doctors have said can never be reversed. People that say that things are incurable, I will tell you this, they are only medically incurable. Let me say that again. We sometimes hear that term, it's incurable. And now our brains, remember I said just because our brains think it, we think it's right. Now our brains go into thinking it's incurable. I don't know, I don't even know if God can do this. But it's only medically incurable. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Praise the Lord. We ministered, I'm just reminding myself of some things that have happened here recently. We ministered to a woman who had an increasing loss of the use of her left hand and wrist from arthritis. We ministered to her and she left with no pain and full mobility in her hand and her wrist. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Remember, Jesus ministered to a man with a withered hand. He said, stretch it out, and it was made whole. Amen. Praise the Lord. Migraine headaches have been healed. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There was a man who was healed. We had a manifestation of a word of knowledge for somebody who'd had an issue with a problem behind their eye. And this man came. And he said he sees the eye doctor every 3 months and the doctor has to poke his eye with a needle. Every 3 months, he was healed. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. There was a man with a benign tumor in his head that would have such pain in the side of his face that they would have to deaden the nerve over and over. He'd go in periodically. He'd suffered many things of many physicians. He went in periodically and they had to deaden the nerves in his face because of the tumor that was behind in that area. It was a benign tumor, so they wouldn't operate on it. It wasn't something you could see. But it had caused such pain in the rest of his face, they would deaden the nerves just so he wouldn't have the pain. He left the service without pain. Glory to God. And the pastor confirmed it. What a miracle it truly was. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Neck pain healed instantly. Hip pain healed instantly. There was a woman who came in Texas who almost didn't even come to the service because she couldn't sit. you know, for periods of time, and she couldn't sit in one of the chairs at church, and so she kept a different kind of a chair at church just so she could sit in that chair, because she couldn't sit in the church chairs. And we ministered to her, and the next night she came back, sat in the regular church chairs, looked 10 years younger. Free. She got free. Hallelujah. A man in Chicago had back pain for 30 years, had an injury, and had back pain for 30 years, was instantly healed. Went away, no pain. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. These are things that have happened, people have dealt with for years and years and years. But Jesus is the healer. Amen. Jesus is the healer. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Let's just magnify Him together tonight. Hallelujah. He is good. His mercy endures forever. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name, Jesus.